I love meeting new people, especially people that have traveled the world and are happy to share those experiences. And this week's guest on Key Africans Unlocked was just that. Keke Matlo is a voice artist. She also hosts her own show. And when I say her show, she makes it clear it is her show, from concept to hosting throughout. And she came through bubbly. She lit up the room. She brought life to the space. She turns heads. And from what we heard, and you're about to hear too, she also crashes cars. This was a great interview, and I'm sure you're going to love it.
Key Africans Unlocked, and we're back again, Chilu.
Good to be back.
Every time I come back for more of these, it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter.
Summer things.
Is that what it is?
Perspiration things.
Perspiration things.
Me? No, it's not me.
It could be the guest. I was going to suggest it could possibly be the heat coming from the guest. You know, I love the fact that we've got Keke today on the show, because I have no idea who she is. Actually, that's not true. I now have a better idea of who she is. We just hung out in the parking lot, busy having conversations. Keke, welcome.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
No, it's our pleasure. I know a little bit more about you, but there are some people out there who obviously know less than me. So just very briefly, tell us a bit about your background, yourself, how you got here.
Oh my gosh, how much time do you have?
About 30 seconds. The abridged version.
Yeah, we want the 30-second version.
Girl, born in Botswana, from Botswana, moved to South Africa. I started doing event management for corporate companies, then got into the broadcasting space and got a travel show as well. That's me in a nutshell. And I'm a mom.
Yes. Love that.
That's
love
also
that.
A job, you know.
Is it? No, I'm asking. Like, literally, I mean, I can never
Are
be a mom.
Serious?
I can never be a mom.
You're going to upset some people out there.
No, I'm not saying
you that.
This is not a disrespectful question.
It's a
difference. It could be a job, could be a calling, could be...
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's
if you were to say job versus calling regarding motherhood.
Job versus calling. Yeah. Look, for me, it's a calling. It's something that... It's something that I was always going to be. Mm. Always. I was always going to be a mom. So it's not a job. Job sounds like work.
Yeah. Oh, you're allowed to say that. Okay. No. I'm not allowed to ask whether you're the only one by virtue of being a mom.
I can say.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, calling for sure.
Okay.
Love it.
Now, you when you initially came to... Johannesburg, city of dreams, bright lights, Egoli, whatnot. What was your plan? Were you coming to study, or were you just trying to, you know, get into the industry?
Opportunities, you know. So what I wanted to do when I was in Botswana is I actually wanted to do interior design and architecture, and it just wasn't a big thing there. So that's why I decided best I leave and go to South Africa to see how far I can, you know, to see how big I can become, if that's the avenue I wanted to take. Mm-hmm. And I got here, and event management. I organized an event in high school. Wow. And I was like, people do this for a living? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I'm there.
Oh, man.
I'm there. Wow. Forget interior design and architecture. I'm there. So that's when I
did
started.
Did you study interior design?
I
did. Or you just had a knack for it?
I had a knack for it.
Okay. What did you study?
I actually did a BBA, so nice. Business administration. And I
thought you meant Big Brother Africa. Which season?
Really?
No, geez, okay.
So I did a BBA, and I majored in communications and marketing. And the idea was that eventually I'll start my own business. Mm-hmm. So instead of just doing an event management degree, I decided to do that, just to have a broader sense of business, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, that Very was cool. the idea. Start a business.
Okay. And tell me about the story of how you met Chilu. Because I know it must have been at least a decade ago.
Chilu. Yeah.
I'm talking about the first time you guys, the first time you guys met.
So I'm doing the deep laugh now.
Yeah, the deep laugh that masks the deep story. Let's go into the story.
So Chilu and I met, it was about 12 years ago.
At Red Cherry.
And nice. He was doing a voiceover. And I think that was my first voice over gig. And, you know, he had just stepped out of the booth and he was like, "Hi, I'm Chilo Lemba."
You exaggerate.
I was like,
that's
oh,
exactly
man.
What he said to me when I met him. That's exactly what he said.
I'm Chilo Lemba.
No,
you guys make it sound like I introduced myself first and last name.
Telling you.
Honestly, Chilo Lemba, that is how we know you. Very few of us know you as just Chilo.
Oh, no.
You are Chilo Lemba.
ChiloLemba.com. That's how we met.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. And then you guys have just kept in touch since the event.
We did. And he's actually played such a huge role in where I am right now as a voiceover artist.
Really?
No jokes. He literally is like my big brother in the industry. So I call him every time I'm like, this opportunity has come up. What do you think about me doing this? Mm-hmm. And he's guided me all the way.
But she exaggerates.
That laugh.
I was going to say, she exaggerates. You know, it's like those guys would say, if you go to a sangoma to give you advice, and they've got the lotto numbers, why don't they, you know, become rich themselves?
Yeah.
So if I'm big brother / mentor and I'm not tasting the level of success you are...
I mean, it's all debatable. You are number one in the country. In the continent.
But it's all about you. Let's shift.
How are you finding though the voice space in South Africa? I mean, obviously you've worked it for such a long time.
You're
now literally reaping the benefits and the fruits of it.
Yeah.
You've officially established your lane and you have a recognizable voice. People pick up the phone and they specifically ask for you now. How does that make you feel and how is that experience for you?
Oh my gosh, it makes me feel fantastic. Look, it was dry in the beginning. Okay.
I know all about that. Don't worry about that. You ain't gotta talk.
So it's been a tough 12 years. But I think the last 5 years just been like pumping, you know?
Nice.
And I think that's exactly it. It's, you know, putting yourself out there and being flexible, being reliable, and people book you.
It's interesting. People when I used to work at an ad agency some years ago, and there was a guy, his name was Chris. I've forgotten Chris's surname. But Chris told me that in the voiceover industry, there's an avenue called corporate, I think he called them corporate voiceovers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he says, if you can tap into that, because a lot of people are good with 30-second bursts.
Mm-hmm.
On sale now, blah, you know, all that stuff. Or TV ads or whatever, which are short. But if you can have a way in which to get into that avenue where you're doing a sustained 5-minute read or whatever, there's longevity in that. It's not necessarily always going to be on TV or radio, because those will be shown at like company events or whatever. But that's an avenue. And that's, I'm assuming, one which you've kind of also dived into.
Yes, definitely. That's where the money's at.
Okay.
I mean,
I'm interested in your thoughts on the voice as a metaphor. Now, you've obviously, you had to relocate. You left the house when you were like 16 years old just so you could find some freedom of expression, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So for you, having a voice in sort of like the metaphorical sense is important, clearly.
Absolutely.
You know, you literally relocated to a new space. You discovered new everything just so you can establish yourself and express yourself. How important is that ability to express yourself and have a voice? How is that important for you?
Oh my gosh, it's everything. It's everything. I mean, like you just said, I left home at 16 and I was trying to find myself and establish a good sense of independence. And, you know, it's horribly important to me. It's everything to me. It really is. It's everything to me.
Who's the most important voice for you that you respect? Besides Chilo, of course, because we've established that he's first on the respectable voice list.
I mean, now I don't know, because I was going to say Chilo Lemba.
And it doesn't have to be professionally. It could just be like, you know, the person that influences you the most when it comes to just voice in your head that guides you.
Look, I don't want to say my mama, because everybody says my mama.
Yeah.
But it's my mama. You know, it really is. Huge, huge influence in my life. She also... you know, was in a very male-dominated space, and you know, she was like one of the first females to break into it, and fighter. Yeah. And I love that. She's got that spirit of fighting and wanting to be heard and wanting to be recognized, and so it's my mama.
Nice.
Yeah.
There's one person that comes to mind just in terms of people in media who've found a strong footing.
Yeah.
Moa Budu. I'm not sure if you guys know her. She's Nigerian.
Mo, yes, I do. Moments with Mo.
Yes, Moments with Mo. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. She's a Nigerian business person who I think had interests in like the hospitality industry and PR and all those things. Mm. And then she started a media company, which was out of her comfort zone.
Yeah.
And then, did that show that Zub's referring to called Moments with Mo. Mm. Now she owns a channel and so on. And when I see your journey, it's kind of has similarities where you are in the corporate world. You own an eventing company and you're doing all that stuff. And then you segue into presenting something on TV, which is... You know, from outside looking in, it looks like you're out of
my element.
No. You're shining on your shows. You're shining on your shows. Bad choice of words. No, it's moving into something that's very different from what you have been doing all along.
Absolutely.
So that segue, what sparks that? What makes you move from doing that to this?
Do you know what? I was interested in broadcasting probably about 12 years ago. And I just, it's something that I never followed up on. You know, I just never went for it. And I was so busy in this eventing space that it consumed me. And finally, last year, I was just like, you know what? I need to just flip the script a little. You know, I need a change. I don't know, midlife crisis. I don't know. But I've had this urge to change things. And when you have that urge, I think you should just get on it and just do it. And I think I gave you a call and I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to go on radio. And I said to him, let's have a cup of coffee, you know, to chat about it. And that's where my journey started. And now it's been like a year on radio and the travel show's around. So good times, yeah. Mm.
So the travel show, that's an amazing story, by the way, because I like the fact that you can decide to segue into whatever you want, whenever you want.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how long your journey in anything has been. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you can't start a new journey somewhere.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Look, I did have moments where I thought, you might be a little bit too old for this, Kay, but you know, not really, honestly.
No, so, young lady.
First of all, you're extremely young.
People are starting things in their 20s. I'm in my 30s starting things. So I just thought maybe I've missed it. But yeah, and doubt creeps in, you're like, get out. But you know, you go through that, you have moments of doubt where you just think, maybe I'm too old, maybe there are a lot of things that creep into your mind. And yeah, I just decided to go for it. I was like, great. Let's see.
And I'm sure you're glad you went for it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I feel like also when you do things at a later stage, you're more deliberate about it. You're more calculating. You're more self-aware.
Absolutely.
You know, you're not just kind of winging it as you go along. Although, you can wing it and succeed. I'm not saying winging it is a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying when you're slightly older, you're a little bit more in control of, you know, how you think and how you approach stuff.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And you can set the tone, you know. Mm. So, like, for instance, the travel show, I didn't want it to be me acting like somebody else on the show. It had to be me presenting the show. Like, I had to be good enough. I had to know myself, you know? Mm-hmm. And I guess it's taken me 30 years for me to get to a space where I feel like I really know myself. And so that it sets the tone.
That's so important.
Yeah.
What I wanted to ask is, you say you felt like, and I guess some people always feel that way as they get along in age.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's worse when you're a woman, especially in broadcasting, where you feel like the younger you are and the earlier you jump on it in your life, the more successful you are likely to be?
Absolutely. Look, I mean, I think that it's very evident that things are a little bit harder for us, you know, as women. And broadcasting has been male dominated, and you know, there are a lot of women that are in the space that are hugely successful, but they have been in it for a really long time. Mm-hmm. So, I think that the earlier you start, the better.
So when I go about doing my thing, whatever the thing is as I do it, I never feel like I'm doing this to represent all men out there or rappers out there. This is for the African man. This is for the African man out there, for my people back. Do you feel like you rep women in Africa? Do you feel? Do you ever feel that
like
mantle
that pressure
on you?
That, like, you know?
Yeah, like, is it like a thing in your life?
It's a thing.
Is it really?
Thing, guys. Yeah.
I always wanted to ask young, successful black women.
Women
do you
haven't
feel
been
like
in a lot of spaces. You don't understand. So it's everything has been difficult. You know, you get into a certain space, even in the eventing space, you know, you get into the corporate space, you stand there in front of 40 men and, you know, you're telling them about how they need to activate their brand. And, you know, it's been a difficult space for me as a woman and a black woman, you know, and a black woman in that space was very tough. It is still tough. So getting into any space, I feel like I'm representing the African woman, the black African woman. Absolutely.
Okay.
So,
absolutely.
So now you've, over the past, during your entire career, you've had doors open in front of you. Some of them you've, you know, broken down so that, you know, you can get through. But yeah. What are the ingredients, you know, to your success or to your journey? What are the things that are helping you to win?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I think... a lot of things, Chulu, but the one thing is asking questions, you know, like identifying somebody that you think is doing extremely well in that space and just reaching out to them and saying, listen, I've got some questions. Can we have a cup of coffee, you know? Yeah. And so asking questions, I think that's key because, you know, especially in broadcasting, you know, you might want to then get into emceeing and then you might want to get into all these different facets of it. And you need to ask people who are, you know, who are leaders in that, who are pioneering in that space. Yeah.
In your experience, do you find these leaders receptive to,
they are.
A, to being asked from a perspective of, I genuinely want to know, not on some, I'm a groupie or I want to use you as leverage going in.
Yeah.
But like, I genuinely want to tap you as a resource for information. And do you find them in turn receptive of the role they need to take on as people with information that they can pass down versus people with power over somebody because they know something they don't?
No, you know what? The whole mentor-mentee thing is like really big at the moment. And I think people honor that. I really do. I think people know that when you have been blessed, you are, you know, responsible to a whole lot of people. You're responsible for at least sharing some of that knowledge, you know? And it's something that I feel that people are taking really seriously now. Before, I don't know, 10 years ago, I don't know. But now I think that it's become a thing, you know?
Yeah, I think so too. Is there like a space in broadcasting where people with knowledge and experience annually get together and I don't know.
I don't think there is. I mean, like, for example, if there is, there aren't enough. I know on the internet there are forums that pop up where people can virtually interact and exchange ideas and so on. But in terms of physical get-togethers, I don't, you know, none come to mind. And I think
there's an eventing idea.
Just credit me for it.
And when I say credit, I don't want my name there. I just want to see a little bit of
break some.
You know.
This.
So you're talking about this expanding life in your career and motherhood now.
Yeah.
Are you struggling with balance? Are you finding it easy to juggle these things now that you're officially
juggling a lot? Yeah.
Look, it's always difficult, but my son is 14. He's just turned 14.
Oh, he's
14.
A boy.
Oh, my God.
And he's a teenager.
I mean, he speaks to me like this. Like, hi, Mom.
The next generation of voice artists.
I'm telling you.
Watch your back.
You need to make that money. So he's in boarding now. So he's a weekly boarder.
Great.
See him on weekends. So I've got time on my hands, you know, so I'm not struggling.
That's good.
I'm not.
And he's the only one?
He's the only one.
Are you planning to have more children? I'll take that as a yes. So obviously between you and your sibling, there's 16
years.
I said
I am developed in years. I don't think I'm going to go down that route.
Why? You're so young.
Oh my gosh.
You've got a lot to offer. Between you and your sibling, there's 16 years.
Yeah,
right?
The last one.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So this is not going to be new. You know how to navigate this space. You got some gems to hand on to him.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
No, not ready for that. But you know, never say never. Look at Janet Jackson.
How old is Janet? Janet's like 40. At the time of this show, Janet is 40. What, 45?
I have no idea.
She's
older than that.
She's like 50.
Yeah, I think she's well in her 50s.
She had a baby at 50.
Ronnie from Belbib DeVoe is 50.
That's a real thing, bro.
That shocked me. Like, guys, Ronnie's 50.
Like, I'm just exhausted thinking about it. I can't do it.
Word to Ronnie. So,
Shout out to Ronnie DeVoe. By the way, that special on BET was dope. Your show was on BET too, right? Yeah. That's why we can sneak this in. That new edition thing was dope on BET.
We need more of those.
Yeah, we definitely need more.
So now, okay, I've been reading this Ricky Smiley book. I think I might have mentioned. And there's one thing that he says in his book, which got me to think about my own situation. He was saying, if you are blessed with visibility via, you know, celebrity or being in the public eye or your profile in any respect, then you have to lend your voice to shine the spotlight on different issues. And in his case, he's all about civil rights and that kind of thing, which he says the journey for him started at 8. So I'm still examining, so I don't have an answer when I'm asked that question, but I'm going to ask you.
I was about
are there any, causes or anything that kind of, you know,
speaks to me that I want to,
which you through your profile you would shine the spotlight on.
Gosh, there's so many things. I think a big thing right now is sexual harassment, you know. Mm-hmm. I think with all that's gone on now with Harvey.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people have come out to sort of say this is what's going on. And what shocks me is that there are women that have been silent for like 10 years, you know, 12 years, 20 years.
Right.
Men. And it's just shocking to me that, you know, we're not vocal, and I thought women, we've come to a point where we actually are able to just speak and be like, this person did this to me. It means that we are still very silent about things that are happening at work, and that, you see, that bothers me. It just says that we're actually not where we think we are. And so that's something that I would probably look at. You know, how do we encourage more people to speak so that it happens less, if at all, you know? So definitely that. Thanks for putting me on the spot.
No, that's a brilliant answer. I'm still, you know, trying to figure. Do you have anything?
Can I tell you, Chulu, for me, I just find it difficult. I've always been about causes ever since I knew that I had a voice that was worth anything. I would sneak in any kind of cause I felt strongly about. But I feel like the times have changed, you know, with like social media, modern technology. It's a new cause every day. Sometimes three or four new causes. And there's a new hashtag with everything. So it's almost like people are desensitized, and you almost feel exasperated when you jump onto a cause and you're trying to push something, especially when you make inroads. To see a lot of attention come onto an issue that you care so much about in 1 second, and then the next second no one cares anymore. And you've spent literally your whole life fighting for this thing. The moment you feel like you've finally made a difference, then nothing. And then you have to wait until that cycle happens again after another 5 years or whatever, when another thing happens. So I find that exasperating. So what I do now is I just generally, whenever I feel very strongly about anything, it could be about something political, something social, something religious, spiritual, then I will speak up and say something. But in general, I just reserve those conversations for the dinner table. Bedtime speed. Or Key Africans, if I'm in the mood. But speaking of technology, so you posted something online and then BET called you. I'm guessing that's how it happened. Because 1 second we're seeing you online. Next thing you're all over this terrestrial television on the satellite station. On the bouquet, getting a check. I'm just saying. It's nice to be called.
Actually,
so my question is the role of technology and how you can go from doing this thing on the internet and then getting a call from BET.
Look, I mean, actually, it lives on the digital space, and that's where everything lives these days. So the idea was not to have, you know, something on traditional media. You can push it and punt it on traditional media, but it lives in the digital space. So the show is basically, it's short because people don't watch things for long periods of time anymore. So it's 5 to 9 minutes. It's me going to different places and experiencing them.
And how, in terms of putting the show together, do you have a say entirely in what is in the show?
You better believe it.
When they say it's her show.
H-W-I-C.
I mean...
Indeed. H-W-I-C is right.
So the show is called Keke Presents because I'm presenting different destinations and it has to be Keke, you know? It has to be me.
It actually authentically comes out. It comes out, the authenticity comes out. You can tell that, okay, this is her show. And she's the one who made... Yeah, and she's having a good time.
Yeah.
Traveling, what does that do for you?
Ooh.
And I know that, you know... It Look, feeds the soul, it feeds the spirit.
It really does. So I've been traveling for a really long time.
Yeah.
I've been doing events all over the world for about 15 years now. Yeah, about 15 years. And so it's nice that I actually get to document that, you know, because I've been experiencing all these places. I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. But like no one is around. I'm just experiencing it all on my own. Yeah. So it's actually nice to document that and just have people see things through my eyes.
Have you kept track of how many countries you've been to?
I think I'm on 40. Oof.
Yeah. Drops mic and interview.
I heard you wanted to say the F-bomb, but you thought it would be inappropriate. It's all right. In this podcast, you can say the F-bomb. That sounded like a meander moment. Where you were going to say one thing and you ended up saying another.
You meander.
You know, I think one of the best things a human being could do for themselves is travel.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Interacting with different cultures, 100%. Seeing different spaces, being hit by different energies. It's just, and to think that people are denied that as some kind of norm.
Yeah,
it's bordering on cruel to me.
It's necessary to travel, you know, and I've been doing it with my son as much as possible. I take him, I expose him. It should be part of everybody's growth process.
I think so.
Yeah.
From your travels, do you have a funny, awkward story that comes to mind?
That I want to mention here.
Yeah.
That's the thing with that question. A question like that, everyone asks for something, but it's about not whether or not you have one. It's about, do you feel like sharing it?
That's the question.
That's the real question.
Because I'm thinking like, I haven't traveled to like, you know, a third of the countries you've traveled to, but I can think of like when I went to Tanzania. I think it was Tanzania. Yeah, Tanzania.
Yeah.
And got to the, the passport immigration story.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with the inner crew, which had South Africans. I was the only Zambian. So I didn't realize that, you know, we got different requirements when you get there. So the other guys were being detained and questioned and, you know, this whole procedure.
South Africans were being detained.
And this lady just kind of looked at my passport, stamped it, said some thingies, and, you know, off I went and I was waiting for these guys. You know, look at me. And then... after we went through, I looked and she had put like some weird stamp in my passport, which apparently said report to the office in town.
Are
the first day in Tanzania was with people from the bank, which we went to do work for. They had assigned somebody so we could sort out that passport.
What?
So serious. Criminal alert.
I don't know what it's all about. But
Zed, stand up.
We had to clear 24 hours. We just driving to that office. They, you know, put a security guard. So, yeah, okay, that's, you know, one
most
of the weird stories.
Most wanted in Tanzania.
Well, when I talk about travel experiences and enjoying different energies around the world, that is not one of the experiences I'm talking about. But thank you for sharing that.
That's real.
Okay, so let me share.
Go ahead.
I was giving you enough time to think.
Thank you for that. Much appreciated. So the first time I went to Argentina, Buenos Aires, got there, and you know, I was taking my luggage out of the cab, checking into the hotel, and this guy drives by, but he looks at me and he literally crashed into another car looking at me. And I was like, I don't know. I feel
so
great.
I'm
like, really? Have I got it going on like that? I was so happy. It's our first day, you know, happiness. And then I went out to a restaurant and I got so much attention. Mm. And I didn't realize that it's because there are very few black people in Buenos Aires.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, okay, right next to Brazil, got lots of people. No.
Really?
So I was like, Naomi Campbell / Beyonce / Well, that's how I was feeling internally.
Okay.
Well, so, look, to be fair, you would turn heads pretty much any country you go to. Let's just be honest. I don't know. No. Yeah, we call a thing a thing. I don't know if you crash cars everywhere you go, but that's a great story.
First day, so I need to go back to Buenos Aires.
Crash a few more cars.
You do need to go back.
I just need to go back, guys.
Crash course.
My people are not making me feel that special.
let's hope they watch this and get to know exactly the levels of appreciation out there. There's compliments, and then there's crash your car compliments. That's a whole league of compliments.
Correct.
All right, I want to touch on spirituality real quick, just because that's part of a human being.
Okay.
Do you believe that it's a big part of a human being, and is it a big part of you?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Spirituality. So spirituality versus being what, a religious person, or
is that how you understand it?
Yeah, I think it's because, you know, people have moved away from saying, oh, I'm religious, to saying I'm spiritual. So that's what I want to understand, is that are we running away from, you know, are we running away from religion and sort of hiding under this thing called spirituality? So what is it, you know? What is it? You tell me the definition and then I will answer you.
Yeah, Key Africans is not about you asking questions.
Well, no, look, I'll tell you this. Understand. Well, here's my thing. Yeah. Answer it.
I think that obviously there's a brain part of who we are. I think everything is one. Okay, mm-hmm. It's mixed up. This is just my thoughts.
Okay.
There's the brain part where we think, whatever. Then there's the body part where you eat food, you exercise. Mm-hmm. Then there's like a spiritual side, which kind of is where inspiration lives. That's where like the soft sort of human things stay, you know, the airy fairy stuff, okay. You know, what feeds that for me is what spirituality is. And I think, first of all, as an African person, mm-hmm. I grew up Christian. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of conflict there, but from my own personal perspective.
Okay.
But I still experience God as a very real part of my life. And I still connect with the spiritual side of prayer, for example, and meditation.
Okay.
So when I ask you, how do you view that side of you as a person and your being? Is that even a consideration in your life? Is that even something you think about?
So I think for me, the minute I think spirituality, I think God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why I wanted you to help me out so that I could answer you. God is my everything. You know, I've grown up. I've just grown up that way. And it wasn't something actually that was forced on me as a child. I enjoyed going to church. I don't go to church all the time, but prayer is my thing, and my son has taken that from me, you know, and
nice.
I love that. I never forced it on him, but he's a huge believer. Mm. So that's what I think spirituality is.
Okay.
It's God.
That's pretty cool.
Mm. G-O-D.
The big G-O-D. Because, you know, in rap, they call each other God sometimes. They're like, yo, peace, God. And I'm like, peace, Zubs is fine.
Yeah,
just say hi, Zubs. Hello, Zubs. Works just fine. Peace, God.
They need to calm down. Yeah.
All right. Just on your son, before we wrap it up.
Yeah.
My baby.
I know you've learned a lot, obviously, in your journey. Obviously, it's clear to see.
Yeah.
And there's this beautiful light that's coming from you that shows that you've gone through a lot and come out of it. What's the biggest lesson from that at this moment in time that you would like to share with your son?
With my son?
Yeah, specifically him.
So my son was in a terrible car accident last year, December. And, you know, he lost a friend and he almost died. It was,
wow.
It was a very serious accident. And I think... you know, you realize just from that days are not owed to you. Time is not owed to you. And it can be taken away just like that. So grab every opportunity. Mm. Grab every opportunity and say thank you. Like, just say thank you all the time. There are so many different people that touch us and affect us in so many different ways. And I just feel like there's just a lack of gratitude, you know, with people that just take. And we don't pause just to say thank you and just show them that you appreciate them. So that's what I would tell them.
And that is beautiful.
Yeah.
See, I love that. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds
so
lovely.
So thank you, guys.
You're not off the hook yet. We got one more thing that we'd like to do with you before you bounce.
Rapid fire.
And then
fire.
You can thank us properly.
Oh, rapid fire.
We should
I'm
get an intro for rapid fire.
I'll ask Mutsai. Mutsai, get on it, please. Find an intro. You'd like a nice
so
intro
not
for
good
rapid
at this.
Fire.
This is like on-the-spot stuff.
So this is easy on-the-spot stuff.
We give you time to think.
You don't get time to think. This is what makes this easy. It's because you don't get time to think. You say the first thing that comes to your mind.
Jesus, okay. Take the wheel.
There's only five questions. Mm-hmm. Some of them are a choice, one or the other. Mm-hmm. You can either just tell me one or the other, or neither. Mm-hmm. You can explain yourself or not. If Chilu feels like your answer needs more explaining, he'll
elaborate. Mm-hmm.
But what makes it rapid fire is that we go through it really quick. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to start with the first one. Nice and simple to begin with. Money or peace of mind?
Peace of mind?
Is that the political correct answer?
Even that laugh. You can see that the way she's laughing. She's like, I'm only going to say
what does the audience want to hear?
No.
Peace of mind.
Look.
Money.
Money is great, but it can't beat peace of mind.
You sure can't. About that? You don't sound convincing right now.
Listen.
Coming from a woman with
peace of money.
Peace of money.
Peace of money.
That's a compromise answer.
Peace of money. I love that. TV or radio?
Radio.
Okay, I'm going to requalify that. When we say TV, we don't mean TV, we just mean visual. So visual or audio?
Visual.
Okay. R&B or hip hop?
R&B.
Okay.
Yeah,
turn off the lights.
You lost one.
A workout or meditation?
Workout.
Okay. Finally, Beyonce or Aretha Franklin?
Oh, Aretha.
Really? That was quick.
Yeah.
You didn't even need to think about that.
Oh my gosh, no.
Okay.
See, rapid fire done. That wasn't difficult.
It wasn't so bad.
I
was expecting the worst.
No.
I was expecting the worst
like
from you
Jacob
two.
Zuma on the
Yeah,
meander
no.
Or
I was gonna meander out of this. I was like, I'm gonna meander out of some of those.
I'm glad you didn't meander out of this interview, though. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for making the effort. You Ubered all the way from PTA.
I'm telling you, so I'm gonna send you the check. I'm gonna send you the invoice. invoice, rather.
We totally appreciate it. Well, would you like to say anything else before we wrap up?
No, nothing at all. Just had a blast. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for
making it.
Hopefully, I will be on the show again.
Well, it depends. it depends.
On how
we feel about what you do between now and then. If we like what you do between now and then, if it's anywhere near like what you've done up until this point.
So you have to move levels.
Oh my gosh. The pressure.
No.
You're always welcome. In fact, you know, Chilu and I were debating if we get tired of seeing each other all the time with this thing, if we shouldn't just add one extra person come in. When we come in, just to add different spice and flavor. You know, and to have a more pleasant sort of, you know, face to look at. Because Chilu's face.
Yeah, because we don't get cars
in the
crashing.
Summer and the winter.
I mean, like, we don't crash cars. We don't crash cars, not even bicycles. No. We're crashing nothing.
People don't crash their sneakers when they're walking by, you know?
Roller skates,
at least if you
nothing.
Just stumble when you see a brother. Just stumble when a brother walks by. Like, not even a young stumble.
Nothing. We don't get nothing.
Yo, thank you so much.
Buenos Aires. That's all I'm saying. That's
it's
all
good
I'm
fun.
Saying.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.